Hi there. This is Ryoko Takao from Tokyo, Japan, and you are listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 54 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have a good episode for you. We're going to talk about grammar, we're going to talk about vocabulary, we're going to talk about small talk, and a lot more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it so you never miss a new episode. And if you have any questions about English or any questions about the podcast or suggestions for things that you would like me to talk about in a future episode, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. As I'm recording this, it is the first day of spring. So I thought a vocabulary list all about spring words would be a good idea. The first word on our spring vocabulary list is spring fever. Well, it's not one word, it's actually a phrase, spring fever. S-P-R-I-N-G, fever, F-E-V-E-R. Spring fever means the feeling that you get when spring has finally arrived and you can finally go outside again and play outside and have fun in the sunshine. And when spring has just started, many people find it very difficult to stay inside and to concentrate on their schoolwork or concentrate at work, at the office, or wherever it is they have their job. They don't want to be inside anymore. They have this feeling that we call spring fever, almost like it's a kind of sickness. It's kind of a funny way of saying you are tired of being inside and you just want to go out and enjoy the beautiful spring weather. And what is spring weather often like? Well, that brings us to our next word, which is mild. M-I-L-D. Mild. Mild means gentle. And we can use the word mild to describe lots of things, not only the weather. We can describe people and their personalities as mild. If somebody has a mild personality, that means that he or she doesn't get angry easily and just has a very even, easy, gentle personality. We also use the word mild to describe flavors. If you go to the grocery store and you are looking at, let's say, salsa, you want to make some Mexican food, you will see right there on the label, on the jar of salsa, it will say mild, or it might say medium, or it might say hot. This is describing how spicy the food is. So food that is not very spicy at all might be called mild. In other words, it has a gentle flavor. So that's mild. Another thing we often see in the springtime is a breeze. B-R-E-E-Z-E. A breeze is a light or gentle wind. And I think we often think of springtime weather as being very breezy. There are many light or gentle winds. The next word is blossom. B-L-O-S-S-O-M. A blossom is a flower. Spring is a time when you will see many blossoms. You'll see blossoms on trees. You'll see blossoms on the ground, blossoms in gardens. Blossom is a flower. Now that's very similar to the next word, which is bloom. B-L-O-O-M. Bloom can mean a flower. It can also be used as a verb that means to produce flowers. A tree can bloom. In other words, it's making flowers. And bloom can also be a verb meaning to develop and grow. The next word on our spring vocabulary list is sprout, S-P-R-O-U-T. A sprout is a new plant. It's what you see when the plant has just started coming out of the ground. That's what a sprout is, a little plant, brand new. It's just starting to grow out of the ground. How about shower? S-H-O-W-E-R. Well, you might have a shower in your home, and a shower can also mean a short period of rain. And we often see showers during the springtime. Well, I guess it depends where you live. Here in Seattle, we don't really have a lot of showers in the springtime, because most of our rain here in Seattle comes during the wintertime. And the last word on our spring vocabulary list is thaw, T-H-A-W, thaw. To thaw means to melt, and it usually means to melt when the weather gets warm enough. So the icy pond or the icy stream that's frozen will thaw or melt when the weather gets hot enough, or the snow on the mountain will thaw and melt and turn into water when temperatures rise enough to melt the snow. Well, those are our spring vocabulary words. Happy spring! This episode's small talk topic, or social situation, is a simple and common one. It's all about how to interrupt somebody. In other words, how to speak to somebody when they are busy doing something else. Now, if you're thinking that this is usually rude, I think you're right. But sometimes it's necessary to interrupt somebody. Sometimes we're having some kind of emergency. What if the bus is about to leave and you're not sure if it's the correct bus? Or what if the movie is about to start and you need to ask a question of somebody working at the movie theater? Or maybe you hear two people out in public having a conversation about something and you know that they're wrong and you want to save them some kind of trouble or embarrassment by letting them know what is correct. Maybe they're having a discussion about how to pay for parking. And maybe one of the people says, well, today is Saturday. We don't need to pay today. But you know that at least in most places in the United States, you do need to pay for parking on Saturday. So you might need to interrupt them to give them this important information. Now, it's true, none of these is a very serious emergency, but these are the kind of situations where you might feel the need to interrupt somebody. And because interrupting somebody can be at least a little bit rude, it's important to interrupt somebody in the most polite way you can. And that's what I want to teach you right now. The polite way to interrupt somebody if you have decided that it is necessary to interrupt them. Remember, when we are starting a conversation with a stranger, but not only a stranger, it could be starting a conversation with somebody in your office. We often start by saying, excuse me. That's a standard way of starting a conversation with a stranger or somebody in the office. So you would say, excuse me. Then, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, and then you can fill in your reason for interrupting. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I overheard what you said about parking on Saturdays. Or, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to know whether this is the right bus. Can you help me? Or, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my movie is starting in 1 minute. Is it okay if I go before you? I think these are all very polite requests and very polite ways to interrupt somebody. Here are some more things that you can say. Excuse me for interrupting, but, or Pardon me for interrupting. That's pardon, P-A-R-D-O-N. Pardon me for interrupting you, but... Or, excuse the interruption, but... And then fill in your reason for interrupting them. Describe your emergency, even if it's not a very serious emergency. Or, I hate to interrupt you, but... All of these polite ways of interrupting somebody make it clear that you know that you are interrupting them, and they all sound like they contain an apology. They all sound like they contain a feeling that you are sorry. You know you're interrupting them, you know it might be a little bit inconvenient for them, but you have a good reason for interrupting them. I think interruptions are okay as long as you have a good reason and you interrupt somebody in a polite way. Today's grammar lesson is about the have you ever construction. This is a question that means at any time in your life, have you done this thing? Whatever it might be. Have you ever gone skiing? Have you ever visited China? Have you ever read this book? So that means at any time in the past, in your whole life, have you done this thing? And this is a very useful construction. It's a very useful expression. We use this kind of expression a lot. And here's how you form this construction. It's very simple. You have to know the past participle form of the verb. As you all know, English verbs can be very difficult because they have many different forms, or they can have many different forms. Some verbs have many different forms, and some verbs use the same form in all of these different places. Let me give you an example. Let's take one of the most common English verbs, the verb to do. Well, the past tense form of do is did, and the past participle form is done. So you could say, I have done all of my homework today. That expression, have done, that uses the past participle. And that's the same with our have you ever construction. Have you ever done this? Have you ever gone there? Have you ever read this? All of those are examples of the past participle form of the verb. The past participle form of go is gone. The past participle form of read is read. I've talked about this before. I think it was a long time ago. But if you want to improve your English, you will just have to memorize all of these different forms of verbs. They're not predictable, and they can be difficult to learn and remember. And you'll need to know them to use the have you ever construction. Now, let's say somebody asks you a have you ever question. Have you ever visited China? How do you answer a question like that? Well, if the answer is yes, if you have visited China at some time in your life, there are many ways you can answer. The simplest way is just to say yes. So, somebody asks you, have you ever visited China? You can say yes. Now, often very simple answers like that, just a yes or just a no, they can seem a little bit rude sometimes. I think it's better to give a longer answer. So instead of just saying yes, you can say, yes, I have. That's short for, yes, I have visited China. Or you can say that longer form, yes, I have visited China. Or you can say, yes, I have visited China before. And in this kind of sentence, before just means before now, at some time in my life. So that is how you would give a positive answer to a have you ever question. How would you give a negative answer to one of these questions? Well, it works in a very similar way. The simplest answer is no. Have you ever visited China? No. Now again, that can sound a little bit rude to give such a short, quick, abrupt answer. So I think a better answer might be, no, I haven't. And you can even make it longer. No, I never have. So at no time in my life have I visited China. No, I never have. Or, no, I haven't ever visited China. Or even, no, I haven't ever visited China before. So you can make your answers longer and longer and longer. And I think the longer answers tend to sound more friendly, more conversational, more polite. Well, that's really all there is to know about have you ever questions. And I think it's a good idea for you to practice. Make up your own have you ever questions. You can ask your family members or your friends or your teachers. Ask them, have you ever done something? And see if you can form these questions properly using the past participle forms of the verbs.
Okay.
It's time for the joke of the week. Okay. Ooh. All right, I was running. Okay. Yes, it's time for the joke of the week. A joke that is often not very funny, but can sometimes show us something interesting about English. And here is this week's joke. What is the best time of year to play on a trampoline? What is the best time of year to play on a trampoline? Do you know what a trampoline is? Trampoline is T-R-A-M-P-O-L-I-N-E. A trampoline is a big, flat surface that you can jump on to play or to maybe do something like gymnastics. So it's something that you can jump on and bounce on. So what is the best time of year to play on a trampoline? What do you think? Well, if you have not already guessed, here is the answer. What's the best time of year to play on a trampoline? Springtime! Do you get it? Springtime? Well, that's the time of year that we're in now. Today is the first day of spring, and a spring is a metal object that is a coil shape. It goes around and around and around and around, and it can compress. You can squeeze it, and then it bounces back to its original position. It springs back. So a spring is something that lets you bounce. And trampolines have many springs in them, all around the edge of a trampoline, holding that bouncy surface in place are springs. So of course, springtime is the best time to play on a trampoline. So get out there and play on a trampoline. It's springtime. It's quiz time. It's the part of the podcast where I like to give some kind of a quiz. Lately, we have been doing listening quizzes, and here's how they work. I will read four sentences, two times each, and I'm going to read them pretty quickly, at a natural conversational speed. It might be a little bit difficult to pick up every word, but do your best. After I've read each sentence two times, I will read each sentence again much more slowly, and I will explain any interesting or strange vocabulary or grammar that might come up. And remember, you can listen to these sentences as many times as you like before going on to hear the answers. Well, here is sentence number one. I looked all over the store and finally found the salsa I wanted to buy. I looked all over the store and finally found the salsa I wanted to buy. Sentence number two. Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever ridden a horse? Sentence number three. I hate to interrupt, but I have a quick question. I hate to interrupt, but I have a quick question. Sentence number four. My neighbor's got a new trampoline, and I can't wait to try it. My neighbor's got a new trampoline, and I can't wait to try it. And now, I'm going to read the sentences much more slowly. If you're not ready to hear the slow versions yet, then pause here or go back and listen to the fast versions again if you like, and then come back and hear the slow versions with everything explained. All right, here is sentence number one. I looked all over the store and finally found the salsa I wanted to buy. I looked all over the store. In other words, I looked all around the store. I looked in all parts of the store, on all the shelves. I looked all over the store and finally found the salsa I wanted to buy. Now, salsa is S-A-L-S-A. Now, that's not really an English word. I mean, I guess maybe it is now. It comes from Spanish. Salsa is a certain kind of cold sauce made from tomatoes, usually, and other vegetables. Sentence two. Have you ever ridden a horse? Have you ever ridden a horse? Now, ridden is R-I-D-D-E-N, and it is the past participle form of the verb ride. So this is one of those have you ever questions that we talked about in the grammar section. Have you ever ridden a horse? And as a bonus, see if you can answer that question in a positive way and in a negative way. Okay, here is sentence number three. I hate to interrupt, but I have a quick question. I hate to interrupt, but I have a quick question. And interrupt is I-N-T-E-R-R-U-P-T. I hate to interrupt, but I have a quick question. And the last sentence, number four, my neighbors, N-E-I-G-H-B-O-R-S, my neighbors, the people who live near me, my neighbors got a new trampoline, and I can't wait to try it. My neighbors got a new trampoline, and I can't wait to try it. Okay, well, how did you do? And that's the end of episode 54 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or if you have comments or suggestions for future episodes of the podcast, or if you would like to record the introduction to a future podcast, the same way you heard Ryoko's introduction at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.